of the Lord tonight. Had a great service last night, didn't we? I mean, just a move of the Holy Ghost around here and folks getting help. We're so thankful for that. And I appreciate what the Lord's doing tonight. You pray for these girls while they sing.
Drifting so far, you can't find the shore. You're surrounded by water, and you feel so alone. The storm began to rage, and the waves began to roll. And you are sure that you'll be capsized before you ever reach the shore. Just look up, there is a rescue. His arms are open wide, and he's going out the lifeboat, calling you to get inside. It's filled with love and mercy, and here's the amazing grace. You are sure he can't forgive you. May you sing his face. Come on into the boat and come home.
You never knew that you were drifting. You never meant to leave the shore. Drop the anchor of commitment. Didn't plan to row that far. Just so busy with life's worries. Never taken time to pray. Never felt the tide of sin coming till it was caught and it was laid. So just look up, there is a rescue. His arms are open wide. He's holding out the lifeboat, calling you to get inside. It is filled with love and mercy. Never meant to leave the shore. Put up the anchor of commitment. You didn't plan to row that far. Just so busy with life's worries. Never taken time to pray. Never felt the tide of sin coming till it was cold and it was late. Just look up, there is a rescue. Open wide, he is holding out the lifeboat, calling you to get inside. It is filled with love and mercy. It is amazing grace. You're sure he can forgive you. Yes, he
praise the Lord. That is the prayer of every saint in the building tonight. Is it every sinner and every backslider? Come on, but come on back home. Can you say amen?
On,
amen. Amen. That's right. Nobody will treat you like God's people.
That's right.
Amen. They'll treat you right. Do you good. Amen. In every way. Praise God. We're so thankful again for your offering and for the good meal today that Brother Mike provided for us and the fellowship. And appreciate Brother Sloan feeling led to pray for us tonight. Tell you, my mind, as the evening has progressed, has been like a maze. And you just have to know my mind to understand that. Amen. But I've been trying to work my way through it. and to come to where I need to be tonight. And I sure don't want to miss it. Amen. I want to be right where the Lord's got us. I feel like preaching on Peter, and I've got it narrowed down to that. Amen. And trying to get some direction. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 16. We'll start there. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Yes. Amen. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help us, amen, on what think ye of Christ. What think ye of Christ? Or what is your appraisal of Christ? Amen. You know the story of Peter, amen. Peter, of course, was one of the 12 disciples that was chosen by the Lord. We're first introduced to Peter, and we see that his brother Andrew went and got him. It seems that Andrew was one of the disciples of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, amen, the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God." And he told his disciples, and he pointed Jesus out to them. And the Scripture said that from that day they followed John no more, but they began to follow Jesus. So Andrew went, and he got his brother Peter. And they came, and they spent the day with the Lord. Amen. Heard Him teach, heard Him preach. But it was still as if Peter had not come to a definite decision about what he was going to do with the Lord. And so in the book of Luke, amen, or in Mark, rather, we read, or in Luke chapter 5, we read of his conversion. For you see, Jesus came in Luke chapter 5. And the Bible said that he saw there was Simon in his boat, and he was washing and mending the nets. And he entered into that ship and began to teach the people. When he got through, he told Simon, or Peter, if you would, to thrust out into the deep, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draw. Simon answering, saying, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." So here we see Peter, as of yet, it doesn't seem as if he is a disciple, but he is willing to obey the Master. He's heard enough and seen enough that there is enough conviction on him that he said, "Never the less at thy word." They did enclose a great multitude of fishes, so that their net began to break. They beckoned unto their partners, which was James and John. They came and filled both ships until they were in jeopardy of sinking. And that's when Peter cried out and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him was astonished. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee. But Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. This is the beginning of Peter's ministry. This is the beginning of his call. The Bible said that he left his boat. Amen. James and John left their ship with their father, and they begin to follow Jesus. Amen. They left, and on their way out, they stopped by the receipt of customs. And Jesus looked at Matthew and said, "Follow me." Amen. And Jesus is now building his army of disciples. And amongst these 12 hand-picked and chosen men, there was three
by James and John and Peter, which was called the inner circle. But it seemed like that there was one above all these that seemed to stick out and take precedent all through the Scripture, and that was Peter. Peter had a tremendous zeal and a desire to do something for God. He was not ashamed of God. Amen. He was ready to fight for Him. He was ready to speak boldly of Him. Amen. So Peter had a great zeal and a desire for God. Well, I've heard some people say they feel like Peter was never really saved, was the reason that he backslid, if you would, or that he denied the Lord. I want to tell you, Peter had an experience with God. Amen. When in the Scriptures there was one place when Peter said, Jesus asked him, said, you know, the sayings got hard and difficult. And he said to the disciples, will you also go away? And it was Peter that spoke up and said, Lord, to whom could we go? That lets us know that Peter had a very high value, amen, of Christ. He went with Him and he laid down in the rocks and in the crevices and on the roads. And he walked for many miles with Him. And he was with Him in good times and in bad. So in all these things, we see Peter's life. We see him being molded. And then in our text, in the book of Matthew, we come to a place where Jesus is now asking a question. First off, He asked a general question. And He said, when Jesus came into that coast, He asked the disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? In other words, what are other people saying about me? What does other people think about me? Amen. How do they see me? And different ones, of course, begin to speak up. And they said, some think that thou art John the Baptist. And some say that you are Elias or Elijah. And others think that you're Jeremiah or Jeremiah. Amen. And are one of the prophets. And so we see there was many people that had an opinion of who Christ was. Amen. And you know, it was that way in the Bible. We can read, and I glean just a few things here. But God thought something of Him, for He said He was my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. The angels thought something of Him, for they filled the heavens up and cried glory to God, amen, to the highest. And they sang a song of His birth. Amen. John the Baptist thought something of Him. Amen. For when He showed up on that shore, amen, John cried out, amen, behold the Lamb of God, amen, which taketh away the sins of the world. He thought so much of Him, amen, that when Jesus came to him and said, I must need be baptized of you, John. Amen. John said, not so, Lord, but let me be baptized of you. Amen. It was John that said, I am not the light. I am not the Messiah, but there come one after me who is greater than I am, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. And so John had Him at a high value. Amen. Pilate, amen, when he died or when he was on the cross about to give up the ghost, Pilate ordered that there be a plaque that would be nailed upon that top beam of that cross. And that plaque was supposed to tell the people of his crime, of what he was accused of what he had done. Amen. On one it might say murder. On one it might say seditions. Amen. On one it might have, amen, other types of gross crimes. But over the top of that cross, amen, He commanded that it be written, not in just the languages of the Greeks, amen, not in just the tongue of the Hebrew, amen, but He had it written, amen, where they could all read it, amen, three languages. And He recorded, amen, He is the King of the Jews. Somebody said, oh, Pilate, you need to put up there a disclaimer, and you need to say that He said that He was the King of the Jews. But Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. Amen. Oh, Pilate knew who He was. Amen. He He suffered. Amen. He suffered to try to release him. Amen. He suffered at the hands of his wife's dreams. Amen. He suffered at the hands of the people. Amen. And history said that he died in a room. Amen. Wringing his hands, trying to wash off the blood. Amen. Of that only begotten son. Amen. Pilate, amen, knew who he was and proclaimed him to be the King of the Jews. Who do men say that I am? Amen. Some said he was Elijah. Some said he was Jeremiah. Some said he was one of the great prophets of old. Amen. That's the way the conversation was going. And so if we speak in general sense tonight, amen, and I begin to ask everyone, who do you think Jesus is? Amen. Some may say, amen, that he is a healer. And another one may say he is a lawyer. And another one may say, amen, that he is a savior. Amen. We would all maybe give him a different title. But you see, the question got a little bit more than just a general question. It started out coming out to the whole 12 and said, who do men say that I am? Amen. You know, a lot of people come this Sunday. There'll be people that'll come to church. Amen. Here and all across America. Amen. That haven't been to church all year long. Amen. They think Christ is only a representation, amen, of something you do on Easter Sunday. You buy a new dress, and you dress up real good, and you go to church, amen, and everybody goes and has fellowship, and you know that's what Easter is, and that's what Jesus is all about. They know Him as a babe in a manger at Christmas, and they know Him as He hung on the cross, amen, at Easter. But I want to tell you, that's head knowledge. Christ wanted them to have more, amen, than head knowledge. He wanted to find out what was in their heart. For you see, your heart will make manifest, amen, what is in your soul. Amen, what you really think of Christ is going to come out in your actions. What you really think of Christ is going to come out in your conversation. What you really think of Christ, it's going to come out in your lifestyle. And so here Jesus is getting a little closer, and He's asking them, what do you think of Christ? Amen. You know, I want to stop here, and if this is out of order, Brother Mike, just wave at me and we'll just skip it and go right on. Amen. I want to tell you something. Amen. You know, there's a new movie out, amen, called The Passion. Amen. I don't know, amen, how you feel about it. I'll tell you exactly how I feel about it. I feel like it is a trick, amen, of the enemy. I feel like it was hatched in hell. I feel like in the long run it's going to do us more harm than it's going to do us good. Come on here now. Amen. Oh, but it's a movie about Jesus. Let me tell you something, I read about it. Amen. I read in Reader's Digest, you can read it yourself, that it was produced by a man by the name of Mel Gibson. I didn't know anything about him, but I read some about him. Then it said that he was a devout Catholic. And it said that he had this movie previewed by the Pope before it was ever released. Amen. Do you think the Pope would let a message of salvation through the blood of Jesus go across America? There is no way that he would ever sanction it. Amen. I'll tell you what the Catholic Church endorses. Amen. They endorse penance. They endorse affliction. Amen. They endorse pain and suffering. But they do not endorse that the blood of Jesus Christ will save you from all sin. They want it to look like a horror movie. Reports of people getting sick and throwing up in the movie theaters. They rated it R. Isn't it a sad message to put out to the world that our Jesus is an R-rated, amen, experience. Come on here now. I'll tell you, it'll be just like 9/11. We had in about 2 or 3 weeks after that, those planes crashed into those twin towers. There where I was pastoring in Alabama, we had probably 15 or 20 people come. And many of them prayed and got saved. You know how many of them stuck? You know how many of them stayed in? I mean, they prayed because emotion. They prayed because they were scared. But they did not pray because they were a sinner on their way to hell. I'll tell you, you may see, amen, that terrible crucifix. And you may see the blood that's running off him in the Hollywood's version. And it may stir you for a little bit. But in the long run, it will begin to take off. Amen. The effect of the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I heard one preacher say, he said, you know, it's really going to be hard after people see that movie for us to preach anymore. Said, you know, when we get to preaching, we're not going to be able to describe it like Hollywood produced it. It's going to make our job a little harder. I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost, that third person in the Godhead, when He anoints somebody to preach, amen, on His blessed Son, and on that blood that was shed on Calvary, Hollywood will never hold a light to it. You won't have to keep anybody 18 and younger out. But you'll find them in the altar, weeping and praying and crying. The message of the cross is a message that says, come. Amen. Come, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I shall give you rest. But you see what has happened. Amen. It's Hollywood has depicted a passion. And so now when you ask people, what do you think of Christ? Amen. Let me tell you, when you take the message of salvation out of the story of the crucifixion, all you have is a horror film. All you have is a man that is being beaten and being murdered and being abused. It's no different than anyone else. No difference than any other horror film. But what separates that story, amen, from all the other productions of the world, amen, is that it was done for a reason. No man took my life from me, but I laid it down. That's the words of Jesus. Amen. He could have filled the heavens up with angels. He could have stayed the people, but He was willing to die that you and I might have eternal life. Amen. Well, I'll leave that alone now. Amen. But oh, let me ask you, what do you think of Christ? And so after that general, amen, question, then Jesus comes down a little closer. And He says, and He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Amen. But whom say ye that I am? There was many people that spoke up in the first time He asked that question. Some say this, some say that. Everybody's putting in their opinion. But all of a sudden, it's real quiet. For He says, but whom do ye say that I am? Amen. What do you think of Christ? Amen. And oh, Peter. Amen. I tell you, the love of God was in his heart. The direction to get to heaven was in his sight. And it said, amen. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Oh, listen, the scripture went on to say, and Jesus answered and said, blessed are thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Oh, I want to preach to you a little while tonight. Oh, what think ye of Christ? Amen. Really, what do you think of Him? Amen. You know, when you look at that question, if Jesus was to ask you directly tonight and say, what do you think about me? If I asked you right here tonight, what do you really think about Jesus? Amen. What would be your answer? You may say, well, I know He is the Savior of the world. I know that without Him, man cannot be saved. Amen. That's good to know Scripture. But I won't ask you, but what do you think, amen, of Christ? Well, my grandma used to tell me when I was a little boy, amen, I'm glad your grandma knew Christ, but I'm asking you, what do you think about Christ? Amen. But my mom and my dad, amen, this is what they say. That's good, young people, but you're not going to go to heaven on mom and dad's experience. The question is, what do you think about Christ? Amen. Somebody said, I love Him, but I just don't serve Him. Well, I want to tell you, you are a liar. Amen. For the Bible said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you really love Him, amen, you'll turn your back on sin. You'll turn your back on the world. You'll turn your back, amen, on everything that the world has to offer. Amen. And leave it all behind. Amen. Oh, and that'd be a sight if I told my wife, amen, now, sweetheart, I love you. Amen. I really love you, but I'm going to move down the road. Amen. I'm going to find me somebody else to live with. But if anybody asked you, amen, you tell them that I said I love you. Amen. She isn't going to believe me. And so it is with the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, I know what it takes to please the Lord. I know that there is a literal burning hell. I know that I'm not living where I need to be. And I know that I need God. Well, you don't think very much of Jesus. Amen. For you to have all that knowledge and then turn your back on Him and say, I will not serve you. I will not follow after you. I will not live for you. The question is, what do you really think of Christ? For you see, what you think of Christ can be gleaned by your actions. Amen. Somebody said, I love the Lord. Amen. And yet, amen, you can't get to church faithfully. You can't get to church on time. Come on, shout amen. Amen, you can't be faithful to God. Amen. I had a brother that I pastored, Brother Jeffy Freeman. Amen. Brother Jeffy Freeman had emphysema. He had lung problems. Amen. He had 4% of one lung working and 18% of the other lung working. And Brother Jeffy would be, amen, in such terrible shape that many times when he'd come in church, he'd have to stop and sit on the back row for several minutes. And then he'd work his way up a few pews where he sat. He'd walk from his pew to the altar, and a lot of times he'd have to sit down and take his inhaler. He'd fan him with books. He'd turn red and gasping and couldn't breathe. But Brother Jeffy's life spoke of one who loved the Lord. Every Sunday morning, Brother Jeffy got up at 6 o'clock every Sunday morning. He would get up, and he would go into his shower, into his bathroom, and he had a chair set up there where the shower was made. Amen. And he would bathe one arm. Then he would stop and take his inhaler. Amen. And he would get where he could breathe again. Then he'd wash his other arm. And then he'd sit down and he'd breathe. And if you've ever seen anybody with those problems, you know it's terrible. He told me, he said, Brother Steve, sometimes it takes me an hour to 2 hours to get a shower every morning. Then he would, of course, eat his breakfast and take his breathing treatments. He had to take them every 4 hours. Amen. Take his inhaler and do all those things. And I could count on one hand, in all the years I pastored Brother Jeffy, how many times he was late to church on Sunday morning. Woo! Well, you can't get to church at 10 o'clock when you're getting out of bed at 9:30. Amen. I mean, Lord, you know I love you, but I sure love this pillow more than I love you. I mean, Lord, you know I love you. Amen. You set that alarm clock. Amen. You'll get to work 10 minutes or 20 minutes early because you want to make a good impression on the boss. Come on here now. Bring him a cup of coffee and buy him a donut. Amen. I'll tell you, I'll work when I'm sick and I'm so faithful to my job and I'm a good employee. That's good. Amen. But it's sad when you love your job more than you love God. Amen. When you're more faithful. Amen. You don't bring your pastor no donut. Amen. You don't bring him no big cup of coffee. Amen. Come on, shout amen. I'm telling you, if you'd really ask yourself a question, what do I really think of Christ? Do I think enough of Him to get to the house of God? Amen. And be there. And be faithful. Do I think enough of Him? Amen. That ever how He said live, I won't buck against Him. I won't fight against holiness. But I'll say, yes, Lord, if you want me to walk this way, if you want me to live this way, I love you so much that I'll forsake all and follow you. You know, the philosophy of forsaking all and following Jesus, we're losing that. And now we say, how can we work Jesus in our schedule? How can we make time for the Lord? When it used to be, amen, that the Lord took the precedent. And we said, how can we make time for everything else? Amen. Used to, the dishes would set in the sink. Come on, shout amen. Amen. I'm preaching on what think ye of Christ. Amen. The laundry, amen, would lay. Come on now. Amen. The floors might not get scrubbed. The glass may not get cut. Amen. The wood might not get chopped. Amen. But we had a time of prayer. Amen. And we'd take that black back book and we'd open it up and we'd weep over its pages. You know why? Amen. We loved Him with all that was within us. We was willing to lay our life down for Him. We was willing to give all. We was willing to take people talking about us and talking about how we lived and running us down because we held our head up high and said, let them talk about me. But I know I love Him and I'll take ridicule and I'll take anything they can dish out because I love Him. Amen. Well, thank you, Christ. And then, amen, Peter came to a place in his life. You know what brought Peter back to a faithful relationship with the Lord? Amen. He loved the Lord. Now the Bible said, little children, I write unto you that you sin not. Amen. That lets us know that a sinning religion is not of God. Amen. Somebody said, I just can't help but sin. Well, when you get saved, you'll be able to help it. Amen. I mean, I just can't help but steal and cheat and lie and sin. When you get saved, you'll quit sinning. And if you're still sinning, you're not saved. Amen. You know, the first ordained preacher that ever preached eternal security, that's the oldest doctrine other than the truth that we can find on earth, that we can find in the Word of God. The first ordained minister that taught eternal security, amen, was the serpent. Amen. He crawled up to Eve and he said, go ahead and eat it. You won't die. Ain't that what they teach? Go ahead and sin. You won't go to hell. Amen. You don't think very much of Christ when you would commit a sin. When He said, I write unto you, sin not. Amen. Oh, help me while I preach. When He said, I write unto you, sin not. But then He went on and said, but if you sin, that is a clause of exception to say I can sin. But that is a clause, amen, to say God don't want to throw you away. God don't want to discard you in the trash. Amen. If you fall down, get back up. Amen. If you commit sin, He said there is an advocate. Amen. With the Father, Jesus Christ. Amen. The right.
righteous. Amen. I tell you, Peter, amen, he's standing by the fire, and the pressure is on him, and he's making some bad decisions, and he's taking some bad steps, and he's hanging around some bad people, and he's talking some bad ways. But all of a sudden, when that rooster jumped up on that old rail and began to take his text and began to preach to him. Amen. The Bible said Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Amen. I feel like he found him a place and began to cry out to God. Amen. Lord, forgive me.
Somebody said, amen, I love the Lord. I'm just not serving him right now. Amen. I love him, but I'm just not living for him like I know I need to. I want to just tell you, you don't love him like you need to. Amen. You don't love him like you need to. When he spoke to Peter, he said, "Do you love me, Peter?" He said, "Lord, you know I love you." Amen. Come on here now. You know I love you. Amen. Oh, Peter. The devil has desired to sift you, Peter. Amen. Do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know I love you. The devil has desired to sift you. Amen. And Peter said, "Lord, though all men will deny you, never will I deny you." Peter, I prayed for you. Amen. Oh, the devil's desire to sift you. But when you are converted, amen. Hear me while I preach. Strengthen the brethren. Amen. Amen. And you see the thing about Peter, he sinned. He backslid. But he loved God so much until he didn't go to the depths of sin. He didn't begin to run through the riotous, amen, living of this world. Amen. But you know where he went to? The Bible said that the women went to the tomb. And then when they got there, and I won't preach all this to you, but when they got there, they found the tomb was empty, the stone was rolled back. And the message that the angel gave them said, "Go and tell the disciples and Peter." Hallelujah. Woo! Go tell the disciples and Peter. Amen. I tell you, God knew where Peter was. Where was he at? The doors was locked. Amen. They were scared to death. The doors was locked and sealed. Amen. And in the midst of them there, amen, Judas was missing. Amen. He went out and hung himself. Amen. Or he would soon hang himself. Amen. We see that not only that, amen, amen, Thomas was not there. Amen. But the rest of them was there and Peter was there. Amen. Well, why are you coming to church, Peter? Amen. I mean, you cursed. You denied him. You walked out on him. You turned your back on him. Peter, what are you doing showing your face here? What are you doing here? Amen. Peter said, "I can't help it. Whew. I just can't help it. I love him." Amen. "I just can't help it. There's something down inside of me. I remember when he first spoke to me on that boat. I remember when he threw the fish in. I remember when I fell down at him. I remember when I left all to follow him. And I'm not serving him right here today. I'm not with him like I need to be. Amen. But I can't help it, Andrew. I still love him. I still want to find him. I still want peace in my life." When those women came in, said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter that I have risen." And when they came in that room to tell him, they began to tell him, you know, "We found a stone rolled back, the tomb was empty, and there's an angel sitting there on the stone," and they're trying to tell all this. And one scripture said, "It seemed as idle tales." Them women could not convince these disciples. But then all of a sudden, the scripture said that Peter jumped up. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, man, I can almost just in my mind see the conversation. Amen. He's risen. He's alive. John, do you believe me? I don't know. Amen. Philip, you got to believe me. I'm telling you, the tomb's empty. Amen. You need to come see for yourself. That seems like a pretty wild tale, Mary. Amen. But all of a sudden, I can see something click in her head. And she turns and she looks at Peter and said, Peter, he called you by name. And he told me to personally tell you he is alive. I can see Peter. Amen. When all of a sudden he jumped up. Amen. And he took off running. And the Bible said Peter ran to the tomb. And John came along. Well, I'm a fearing God. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. And John probably was a... Amen. John was in a little better shape than Peter was, maybe. He outran him. He passed him. And he got to the door of the tomb first. Amen. And he just kind of stood there looking in. But it said when Peter caught up with him, it said, and Peter went in. Amen. Amen. I can see him when he come in. And he was looking around. Amen. And he found the grave cloth. Amen. Folded. And lay into a place by itself. Amen. He began to say, as he come out of the tomb, he's alive. He has risen. Amen. I tell you something. Was a building up in Peter's heart. He loved him. What think ye of Christ? Amen. I talked to a woman. Lead me here, Holy Ghost. I talked to a woman back home. She's a backslider. And never attended my church. In fact, she lived in Florida and moved into the town I pastored. And just by the Lord's way, I met her and her husband. And I got to talking to them. And they was backslid out of the Holiness Church. He told me, he said, Brother Gentry, up to a few years ago, I'd never seen my wife in a pair of pants. I'd never seen her with makeup on. I'd never seen her with, hey man, I never heard her say a dirty word in her life. She'd been raised in church. He said, but we got out of church and she got hurt. Things didn't go just right, circumstances. And said, time has went on. And he said, I see things now I never thought I'd see. Amen. One day I was talking with her. Amen. Her name was Pam. I said, Pam, why don't you come to church? I'd invited her many times. And she said, Preacher, you know the reason I won't go to church? She said, because I know if I go to church, I'll get saved. Hey. And tears kind of swelled up in her eyes. And I said, you still love him, don't you? Amen. Woo! I tell you, when you can step through, amen, service after service, amen, of people, amen, and the conviction of moving on your heart, and then you still say you love him, you don't love him, amen, like you need to love him. Amen. Peter said, somebody, give an altar call. Peter said, somebody, amen, let me pray again. It wasn't too long till Jesus appeared himself in that same chamber. The doors is locked and in comes Jesus. And he walks in there and he shows them his hands and his side. Amen. And oh, Peter, what you going to do now, Peter? He's stirred. Amen. And he's out on the boat with the disciples. You know, it was Peter that spoke up and said, I go fishing. And then the other disciples, there was seven, at least seven. There was a couple that history doesn't really give us a definition of, but there was at least seven of the original disciples that was fishermen. So when he said, I go fishing, there were six others that jumped up. There was seven in that boat. They said, we go with you. Amen. And they got out there and got to fishing. Amen. And guess what? They weren't catching nothing. They toiled and they labored and they didn't catch nothing. Boy, this sounds familiar. Boy, this sounds familiar. It seemed like the first time I ever prayed, I was in the same shape. I was a fishing and I wasn't catching nothing. Whew. Hey man, he got to fishing. Hey man, he ain't catching nothing. And all of a sudden, Jesus. Amen. Come on here now. The same man that come a-walking on the sea. Amen. The same man, amen, that appeared and sat out on his boat. The same man, amen, that he slept with, that he heard teach and he walked with. Amen, Jesus. Amen, cried out from the shore. Amen, and he told them, amen, how to cast their net. Amen, over on the other side of the boat. And when they did, they brought in, was it 165 or 67 fish? Amen, I mean, they brought a heap of them in. And as they began to bring them in the shore, as they began to bring them up to the bank, Jesus already had a fire kindled. And he already had food cooked. And he told them, said, come and dine. Amen. The masters are calling. Come and dine. Amen. In slid Peter. Amen. Along with all the other disciples. Amen. I mean, his head's bowed. He's looking at the one he loves. He's feeling something like he used to feel. And Jesus looked at him again. And he said, Peter, do you love me? Go and feed my sheep. Oh, Peter, do you love me? Amen. Take care of the weak. Come on here now. Peter, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know I love you. Amen. Well, I tell you, when you get ready to sail back out to God and give all to Him, it ain't just a matter of coming down and shedding a few tears, but it's a matter of falling back in love with Jesus. Amen. And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He looked at him again and said, but Peter, do you love me? He said, well, Lord, you know I love you. Amen. Amen. And then that third time, he looked at him that third time, and he said, Peter, do you love me? And he grieved Peter. And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know my heart. You know I don't want to die lost and go to hell. You know I'm not planning on ending this way. You know I love you. And he said, go, amen, go, amen, and preach my word. Amen, who was it on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell in the upper room? There came a bouncing out of them rooms, speaking in an unknown tongue, that looked across the men and said, ye men of Jerusalem, amen, these men are not drunken as you suppose, being as much about the third hour of the day, but this is that that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Who was it? It was Peter. Amen. It was Peter. And he was saying, I love him. I want to serve him. Somebody said, but Peter, you messed up. Peter, you messed up. But Peter said, yeah. But I remember the day that he said, I prayed for you, Peter. Oh! I tell you, the Lord loves you tonight. Amen. I need to get back to my message here. What think ye of Christ? So we see what Peter thinks about Him. But the question as we close, but what do you think about Jesus? Woo. Amen. What do you think about the man, amen, that laid down his life on the old rugged cross that you might have life? What do you think about the man, amen, that put money in your pocket when you didn't have a dime? What do you think about the healer? What do you think about the great physician? What do you think of Christ? It'll all be determined and whether you serve Him. Amen. If you love Him, and if you think much of Him, you'll serve Him. Amen. America seems to be engaged in many conflicts on many sides. And in my generation, and even a little before me, other than the conflict we're engaged in now, and a few smaller skirmishes. It was handled mostly by air power. And we don't know anything about sacrifice. We don't know what some of you that's here that maybe served in World War II or in even Korea or Vietnam, and you saw as men bled to death beside you for one reason. Amen. They were there because their country called them and duty demanded it. And they loved that flag and their country and their family so much till they were willing to die and be maimed and be hurt and go through all the thing that war brings on. Amen. You know why? They loved their country. And there's people, they'll say, I'd die for America. But yet they won't live for Jesus. They're willing to die and go to hell for a country that is becoming more heathen every year. And I believe in supporting your country, don't get me wrong. But what do you think of Christ? Amen. Do you think enough of Him to lay down your life on this altar and say, Lord, I surrender all. All my thoughts, all my hopes, all my ambitions, all my ideas. I give it all to You, Jesus, because You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Are you willing tonight to give your heart to the Lord? Would you stand to your feet? What do you think of Christ? You've heard the story of the old violin that went up for auction and it didn't draw much of attention or much money. The bid started out at $1. Can I get two? Can I get three? Going, and almost gone. But then an old gentleman rose and came up and he picked up that old violin. You know what you are tonight? You're just that old violin. You're just that instrument that's laying broken and shattered. And many people look at it and don't see much worth in it. And they cast it off and say, I never amount to much. But when the old gentleman stepped up and picked up that violin, he dusted it off, put his fingers up to the pins and tuned it. Then he laid that bow across them strings and began to play the most beautiful song you've ever heard. And then the price went up to 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and it was sold. Somebody said, what made the difference in that old violin? They said it was the touch of the Master's hand. I want to tell you what's going to make your appraisal for Christ go back up. And His appraisal of you go back up is a touch from the Lord. I want to close with this. I won't leave you standing alone. First, Jesus said, what do you think of me? And then when He got through with that, He turned around and He looked at Peter. And the Scripture goes on and He said to Peter, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, once Peter told Jesus what he thought about him, Sister Mary, the next thing Jesus told Peter what he thought about him. Oh, hallelujah. If you tonight could just be honest and say, Jesus, I love You. I love You, I love You. I love You, I love You. If you could just tell Him that. Oh, how bad He's looking down over the balconies of heaven wanting to say, I love You. I love You. He's looking for one more person, one more soul to cry up to Him with every head bowed. What about it tonight? There's some here praying, seeking under a burden. Would you step out right now, sinner? You're here. You're not where you need to be with God. You're far away. I want to ask you one question God put on my heart. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? If you love Him, I want to ask you right now to come down to this altar and say, I want Jesus to do a work in my life. You may be here not saved. You may be here and be a backslider. You may be here and just need to check up. But I want to ask you, if you love Him tonight and you're uncomfortable with your status with God, would you come right now to this altar and kneel and just tell Him, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Look what Peter did. Look at everybody that looked on. But when Peter fell down and said, I love you, Jesus said, I love you, Peter. I love you, Lord. The Lord said, I love you, Peter. Can you cry out tonight and say, I love you? The altar is open. Would you come? You need the Lord in your heart. What about it?
Through her tears.
Anywhere, anybody. Could you come and look toward heaven and
when
say, I love you.
When He spoke to me, I knew
Jesus.
It was
I love you, Lord.
Savior.
Oh, when I feel a burden on my heart to me, tonight. Would you come?
He called me by my name.
Would you come? I love you, Lord.
And the stone is sealed.
I love
my
you,
heart
Jesus.
With fear. Rolled suddenly
everybody that would,
away.
Let's come.
When Jesus
let's find
spoke,
a place to
I
pray.
I'd never be.
Let's just say, I love you,
the
Lord.
Same.
Let's just say, I love
she
you,
thought
Lord.
He was a gardener.
Let's just say, I love
when
you,
she
Lord.
She met him on the road. She
tell
had
him
gone
how much
to
you love
see
him.
The tomb where Jesus
he deserves
lay.
He deserves
she
that.
Heard
come on.
The stranger speak.
I love you, Lord.
Mary, I'm the one you see.
I love you, Lord.
She ran to the disciples.
I love you, Peter.
And through her tears they heard her say, when He spoke to me,
you,
I knew it was
you,
the Savior. And
pray.
When He spoke to
pray,
me,
Mama, for that
He called me by my
pray,
name.
That's lost.
And the stone is sealed in my heart with fear. Oh, suddenly away. When Jesus spoke, I knew I'd never be the same. When He spoke to me, I knew it was the Savior. When He spoke to me, He called me by my name. And the stone is sealed, my heart with fear, oh, suddenly away. When Jesus spoke, I knew I'd never be the same. For years I walked without Him, trusting only in myself. But that only led to pain and misery. Till in my heart I heard Him say, child, there is a better way. So I knelt down on my knees and felt His mercy cover me. And when He spoke to me, I knew it was the Savior. When He spoke to me, He called me by my name.